Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
On Friday, we took some time to mark the 20th anniversary of the September 11th attacks. And on that show, many of you called in with your experiences from that day, and they were remarkable. Thank you for calling. Unfortunately, more of you called than we had time for. Kate of Cambridge was one of those callers, so we called her back today so she could share a memory with you. Kate was living and working in Washington, D.C. then, when 9/11 happened. Her brother-in-law worked in the Twin Towers and died that day. He left behind five children. When Kate saw TV footage of the planes hitting the World Trade Center, she knew he would not make it out, and in that moment, she got in her car and started driving. Eventually, she found her way to a church, one she'd never been to and would never go to again. And at that church, a stranger was there for her.
I remember the door being locked, and I was just like, oh my gosh, I can't fit. And this little old lady said, hey, can I help you? And she had the key to the church. I said, yeah, I need to light two candles. I need to light a green candle and a pink candle. I remember that the green was for hope and pink was for the dead. And she like was like my chaplain that day. She actually had two big taper candles, and we lit them in the church, and she just sat with me, and she knew that I wasn't, like, okay to drive, and she just sat, and she asked me about Chris Woodencheck, mm-hmm. who's my brother-in-law, and asked about just my life, and just until, like, I kind of composed myself, and I've never seen that woman before again, but she was, like, my guardian angel that day, and I happened to be a chaplain at Mass General. 9/11 was definitely a turning point in my life. It made me think about, maybe question everything. And it just took my life in a different direction.
Thank you for sharing that turning point with us, Kate. We want to give you one more story. Earlier this summer, we invited you to write in and share with us your experiences from September 11, 2001. Dozens of you responded. Thank you for that. On Friday, we shared with you one of those stories, and today we're going to bring you another. Ron Gaudette of Newton. He's a member of the National Disaster Medical System and Mass General's Trauma Critical Care Team. The group's goal is to provide care for patients in life-threatening situations. Ron was deployed to Ground Zero following the September 11th attacks, his first deployment with the critical care team. He says he had that day off on Tuesday and planned to go kayaking, but was quickly called once the event started to unfold.
So we left that evening. We were able to secure about 10 SUVs from Logan Airport. We proceeded from there to Fort Stewart Air Base. Typically, you go to a staging area first and you see how things are unfolding before you go right into the zone. Because there could have been more attacks.
So how long did you wait? When did you actually get there?
So we arrived at Fort Stewart Air Base about 12:30 at night, checked into the airplane hangar, tried to get some sleep, but it was impossible, then had breakfast and got into our trucks and went to Chelsea Pier. And waited there for most of the day, actually. This was on the 12th, until those that were involved in orchestrating some of the response gave us the go-ahead to go in to the cordoned off area.
So now you are truly going into the unknown. What did you think you were going to see, and what did you see?
We had no idea. We were called into a circle at Fort Stewart Air Base, and Dr. Briggs said, look, we may be going to LaGuardia Airport to put tags on bodies. And if anyone has a problem with that, step out of the circle. And nobody did, actually. One of our orthopedic persons chimed in and said, Dr. Briggs, we're here as long as you need us. We started our work about 2 in the morning. This is on the 13th. It was a real challenging. First of all, there were no lights. And then figure out very quickly, when we start seeing patients in the morning, how are we going to do this in an organized manner?
Who were you seeing? Who were these patients? Were they firefighters, police officers?
Okay.
Who were they?
Yes, it was all of the above. So there were firefighters, there were police officers, there were construction folks, there were people in social services, there were veterinary people because we had dogs. The challenges were there was so much stuff in the air. As you can imagine, all of that jet fuel was just still burning. Computers were burning, so it gave you a headache in a short period of time. But those that had predisposition to asthma flares were actually having asthma flares. There were people, none of them brought their medications, and they weren't going home, quite frankly. They were staying there. Their brothers were under the pile, and they weren't going home.
Ron, so I get this sense of kind of controlled chaos. Controlled because your team knew what it was doing, and chaos because it was post 9/11. At some point, there must have been a moment to sit, to pause. And tell me about that, your first pause after you're in the thick of it. What did you find yourself thinking?
You know, I was working on days without sleep. And when they dropped us off, there were no walking pathways whatsoever. There was just complete debris. When I stepped out of that van and I looked up, and it had rained a little and there was steam coming off the girders, and the firefighters, hundreds of firefighters, were walking and with their heads down, their helmets on. It's really strange. Nobody was talking. Eerily quiet. You could only hear the cranes. And I personally, at that moment, I felt like I was on a different planet. And I didn't think that I had, I thought to myself, what am I doing here? I don't have the skill sets for this. But the adrenaline was high throughout.
So fast forward with me now, Ron. We're now 20 years later. And it's hard to imagine that those days didn't have an indelible impression on everyone, but for you to be of service and in proximity, how has that work at Ground Zero impacted these last two decades of your life?
In essence, it has defined me. When I see 9/11 on my watch, when I see 9/11 on my dashboard of my car, those images that I initially shared with you are, I think, indelibly encoded into my neural network or seared in. I can, they're right in the forefront of my brain.
That's Ron Gaudette of Newton. He's a member of the National Disaster Medical System and Mass General's Trauma Critical Care Team, which was deployed to Ground Zero on September 11th. Ron, thank you so much for sharing your story with us.
Thank you, Tiziana. A great honor to speak with you.
And thank you for what you did that day and those days after.
Welcome.